Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Super Carlin Brothers is sponsored by Nude. Y'all, of course, know about my podcasting and YouTube endeavors, and you may even know that I do some aquarium maintenance at times, but you may not be aware that my wife, Alice, and I also own a business together called Nude. I know it's a funny name, but there's actually a fun story behind it. See, Alice has always had a deep love for clothing and fashion, but even more so for thrifting. It was her way to sustainably and economically expand her wardrobe while still aiming for quality brands that would last. And she is really good at it. Like, I can't tell you the number of times over the years that she has been stopped by people admiring her finds. So much so that she coined a phrase for her response. Thanks, it's nude. As in new, but in the past tense, because it's not exactly new, it's nude. So, we took this concept and created a storefront not 100 yards from where Super Carlin Brothers was created and have an online shop featuring pre-loved clothing from brands like Lululemon, Free People, Anthropologie, Madewell, and so many more. If you'd like to check it out for yourself to ring in the nude year, if you will, you can do so at nudesalem.com and use promo code SUPER to get 20% off your entire order. That's NEWDSalem.com, promo code SUPER for 20% off.
That was a thumbnail sip.
Oh, you're doing props now.
We're doing props now.
You're doing prop. Hold on.
Jay, for real. That's pretty good.
This thing, as ever, microphone woes, Ben.
As
I
ever.
I finally got it exactly where I want, but now it hits the popcorn machine.
And this microphone cord is just not long enough.
Ugh.
Which feels very fixable, but it's a constant trip hazard these days.
A trip hazard.
And I knocked over the iPad, and now to get it, watch this, I'm going to have to do that. It's uncanny.
I mean, at what point do you accept that it could be you?
I don't accept that it could be me.
No.
Yours just clamped on. No problem. It's not in your face.
I guarantee if we traded spots, you would have an issue.
I don't think so.
I guarantee it.
I don't think so.
I guarantee it.
No.
Yes.
Nope.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Disagreed. And I don't know, like, this is a problem that we just refuse to fix ever. Like, every microphone stand that we own is terrible.
That is true. I don't know why we don't have better ones.
I know. Like, even the ones downstairs on the Gryffindor set. Like, we have, like, bean bags balanced on this end over here to stop them from going and floating down.
Elegant solution.
Yeah. Except that sometimes they still do.
It's not perfect.
It's not perfect. And it's like we're professional podcasters and our microphones are not situated good.
Yeah. It is like the most important single piece of equipment other than our brains.
Other than our brains.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
I'm here, Ben. Merry Christmas.
Hey! Happy holidays.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. Look at us go.
We're doing it.
We made it.
We made it to the end of another year.
Was this the fastest year of your life?
I mean, it did feel really fast.
It did. I mean, like I don't know what it was. Like we did the couple of tours. We had a couple of vacations in there. Like
the cruise. That was this year.
When I think about the fact that the Disney cruise was this year, it literally blows my mind.
Yeah.
But I was doing the math the other day, and I think I spent like over 35 nights away from my home this year.
That's crazy.
I know. And I was like, that's over a month, which that means like 8% of the time I was not closing in on 9% of the time. I was not at my home.
Weird to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really just unbelievable. Because then sometimes I even like look around my house and I'm like, man, I feel like I'm like, I used to be so good at keeping up with this stuff. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I mean, one, parenthood, two, being gone all the darn time.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That will do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, that was my year in review.
That was your year in review.
Yeah. It went really, really fast and I was gone a lot.
Yeah, gone a lot.
That's what people need to know. But more importantly, Jay, I have a question for you.
Okay.
You were mentioning, and now my interest has been peaked because we have plenty of conversation. We hang out all the time.
Yeah.
We're basically, you know, like we work together 40 hours a week and then on the weekends we usually just hang out as well. And then when we're not hanging out, a lot of times we're texting.
That's true.
So
I know. Yeah, we were texting about the Commanders game yesterday.
We were indeed.
As ever, you texted me and you're like, Commanders looking great. And I was just like, man, why would you even say that?
I hit send and I was like, what was I thinking? What was I thinking?
I
know. I was like, that was just rude of me.
I know.
Like, my bad.
I know. And then, you know what? I committed the same thing because then there was some amazing play where Jaden Daniels danced out of like three tacklers and got a first down. And I was like, I cannot believe he just did that. And I sent it to you. And I was like, what an amazing thing. And you were like, so evasive. Literally the next play he got sacked for like 20 yards or something outrageous. It was like, we should, I can't even, I just, we, I don't know, what are, like,
stop talking.
It's not like we know it's us.
Yeah.
Why are we doing it?
I know. Yeah. We are the problem.
We are the problem.
Apologies
to Commanders fans. In our defense, they still won.
They did. They knock on wood. Yep. There we go. We made it. So, but no, the reason I bring up the fact that we're always together is because there are rare occasions where we come in and you are sort of like, I have a story that I want to talk to you about, but we need to do it on the pop. And usually that means that I'm like dying.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I really need to know what the heck is going on.
So yeah.
Item number one on our pop doc for this week is the Christmas star story at church. Very interesting. What do you make of it?
What do you mean? Well, I'm curious to know what you make of it.
Okay.
Because like we've talked about like zodiac signs and horoscopes and stuff on the pop before.
My wife, I think like one of our very first ever conversations was she was like, oh, I'm a Leo and you're a Scorpio. It's like that can be really good, but it can also be a little explosive. And I was like, especially at that point in time, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this particular conversation. But
right.
Obviously, I think as time has gone on, it's become like I've slowly dialed in on it. And it's just more than anything like a fun like classic Scorpio. So am I right?
Like, right. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah. So for what it's worth, I don't put like any stock in like horoscopes or like zodiac signs or anything.
No.
In terms of how it affects your daily life or anything like that.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not to say that like, then there's always that like book Outliers where it's like, well, people who were born in January, like in Canada, there's like an abnormal number of players in the NHL. And it's like, you could be like, well, that's because I don't even know what the January one is.
I don't know either.
I know. Yeah. What is it? Capricorn, maybe?
Well, what are you? Because it would at least be portionally what you are.
Aquarius.
Okay. Yeah. So people from like January 21st to like February 21st.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. It'd be like, wow, Aquarius people are like, if you're born Aquarius, you're probably really good at hockey. And it's like, that's not how it works. But
yeah, Malcolm Gladwell proved that what actually happens is that all of the hockey leagues in Canada start with the year.
Yeah.
At least the age like baseline is determined by the year. And that means that kids who are born in January, when they start playing at like 5 years old, like the difference between being born on January 1st and being a 5 year old throughout that season is very different from being born on like September 31st.
Yeah.
You know,
you're like 9 months older.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So like 9 months older at that age is be a lot.
Significant. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they end up being the biggest players. They get the, you know, most play time. They're more developed typically.
Yes.
And then it all translates to higher confidence levels, which translates to more experience and ultimately absurd number of January birthdays in the NHL.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yes.
Just indeed. A very weird how that worked out.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that to say, don't really like, I don't subscribe to like, you know, you read the horoscope in the newspaper and you're like, oh, this is how my day is going to go. All right. Got it.
Sure. Cool. Yes. Yeah.
Don't think that has any bearing on it. However, that said, for the sake of the story, it would be important to know that like the people of biblical times would have like prescribed certain attributes to certain constellations.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not that it necessarily is like telling you the future, but it's more like in their eyes that like God was communicating with them
via the constellations. The one thing I will say about constellations, and I mean, some of them I think are a bit more reaches in terms of like how they shape certain things, but like the Big Dipper has always been one that I have like a very strong affinity for because one, it's easy to find in the sky, and two, it is just so clearly what it is.
Yeah,
like it is definitely a shape.
Yes.
And it stands out. It's like, wow, that is so incredibly interesting that, like, especially when you just gather the information that this is like billions of miles away, balls of gas that cosmically aligned from our unique perspective where we are in our solar system to see them in that order.
Right.
It's like, how?
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Or I mean, I'm sure people would argue that it's like, well, there's, you know, literally billions of them up there. And at some point, just by like monkeys on a typewriter, some of them are going to make shapes. You know?
I mean, that's sure enough. Yes, absolutely. I mean, no arguments there. But I always do find it to be just utterly fascinating.
It is. So anyway, as I'm sure you're aware, with the story of Jesus being born and Christmas and stuff.
Sure.
There was like three wise men and they were like following this like hyper bright star in the sky. And that like led them to Bethlehem where they like found, you know, Jesus.
You were telling me all sorts of things I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That is a part of the Christmas story.
Okay. Okay.
Is that there was the really bright star in the sky and they were following it and it brought them to Bethlehem and they were like, we think the king is going to be born or whatever. And like, sure enough, boom, stable, Jesus. Hey, crazy.
Who are these wise men?
I think they're called the Magi, and this is like the people who brought like the gold and frankincense and myrrh. If you've ever heard of that with Christmas at all?
Nope.
All right. Cool. They were like the three kings who brought gifts to Jesus.
Okay.
And yeah. So there you go. When he was born.
And one of them is called frankincense?
No, these are the gifts. The gifts they brought were gold and frankincense and myrrh.
What is frankincense?
Frankincense is like I'm sure you've seen like the essential oil. It's like a smell kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing.
It's a good thing. These were all good gifts anyway. Okay. I don't know what myrrh is either for what it's worth.
I mean, myrrh was my next one.
I know. Yeah. You know? Hold on. You said myrrh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you started with gold and I'm like, I follow completely. Gold is really shiny and fun to look at.
Okay.
Frankincense.
Yeah. Gold. That one's pretty obvious.
That one I'm a little more stuck on.
Yes.
And myrrh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Got it.
I want to say myrrh is like a flower, but I don't know.
It seems like it could be.
Yeah. Yeah. We could probably look this up. This has got to be an extremely Google. I bet tons of people are like, what on earth is myrrh?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Should we discover it?
Maybe. Go ahead. Let's hold for Google.
Hold for Google. Because surely, you know, somebody out there right now is... let's see here. James Murray came up, who I think is one of the guys from that show about pranks and stuff.
They probably didn't bring a prankster to Jesus.
Impractical Jokers, James Murray. Myrrh Spice? Oh, wow. I was spelling it so wrong. MYRRH is a fragrant, bitter-tasting gum resin that comes from the camphora tree and has been used for many purposes throughout history. Medicine, flavoring, perfumery, cosmetics, embalming, and religious ceremonies.
There you go.
So, I thought that there would be more of like, of course. But, I mean, medicine, you know, certainly
yeah.
That's a big one. Yeah. So, okay. Good for them.
There you go.
And but then were the wise men like, are they of Earth?
Yeah. They were just like.
They're just dudes.
They were just like, yeah, wise men. Yeah.
Okay.
The Magi.
Sure.
Anyway. So. Here's the story. We were, that's like the story you hear. They growing up, like they followed the star, they found Jesus and whatever. Very cool story.
Yes.
Because like, how do they know to follow the star or whatever or anything like that? So anyway, I was at church this past weekend and because it's Christmas, our pastor was telling us the story and with like more like he had this cool software that showed that, you know, you could plug in any location on Earth and any date and time, and it would show you what the night sky looked like at that time from that place.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That is actually very fascinating.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool software. So if you like wind the clock back to like, you know, roughly 2024 years ago.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Right. I don't know exactly when the date of Jesus, whatever. He's, you know, he had it on the right date, as it were.
Okay.
And you can see what the night sky would have looked like from like present day Iraq, which would have been like where the wise men were presiding at the time.
Okay.
So what they were seeing when they look at the sky.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
With no light pollution.
Exactly. Much better sky viewing for them.
Yes.
Yes. Which is important. So like if you're unaware, and I'm sure you are, but like the way constellations like work in the sky is that, it, you know, during the summer you see certain constellations and then during the winter you see a different side of the sky because of where the Earth is in relation to the sun.
Sure.
You know, like at night at some point in the year you're facing one section of the night sky, and then when the Earth moves around to the other side, like 6 months later, what formerly was night is now day. So if you looked that way from Earth, you'd be staring at the sun. So now night is in the other direction. So you see different constellations.
Rotating spheres in the void.
Yeah.
Can be so confusing at times.
They can be so confusing at times. And yet there is consistency.
Okay.
In that every year you can consistently know that in the winter I will see these stars in the sky, and in the summer I will see these stars in the sky.
Got it.
And so if you're like way back then, these are the kind of things they're like looking up and noticing all the time.
Right. Yeah.
They can just see that, like, okay, yes, here it is. Those stars are back. These stars are back. Like, they know how, at least how that works. However, there are some stars that would otherwise appear to be moving around up there.
Okay.
Which are the planets.
Oh, got it. Yes. Right. Sure. Yep.
Because they are, you know, obviously they're on their own little trips around the sun and stuff like that.
Yeah, so they're just doing their own thing.
They're doing their own thing. So if you're like way back then, you're charting these things, you'd be like, well, now this one's moving around. What's going on here? And they figured out what they were, that they're like, you know, planets or whatever.
Okay.
And
good for them.
Good for them. I know, right? So they have the, or maybe they didn't know they were planets, but they knew they were different.
I don't know.
But so the two easiest ones to identify, the two like brightest planets and the brightest things in the night sky, other than the moon, which wins by a mile,
right?
Obviously, are Jupiter and Venus.
Okay.
Right? Jupiter, even I can spot Jupiter, you know, now. I'm like, I don't like that one's Jupiter. That's one. Obvious.
Got it. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. I was like, you know, I got like Luke for a while was like, he'd want to go outside and use like a little app and like point it up there. And like, you just do it for like 3 nights and you figure out like, oh, that one's Jupiter. And then like, for like, since then I've been like, I got your number, Jupiter. Yeah, I know where you are.
No,
you are so bright up there, my man. Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, I feel like I got Luke a telescope for Christmas the particular year that he was really into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it was like one of those gifts where like at the time I was like, he's probably too young for this, but like eventually that telescope's gonna be fun.
But there's such a weird, I have like such a weird, because we've gotten it out a few times, but because you got it for us at Christmas, like obviously the first time we set it up was like freezing cold outside.
Yeah.
And I feel like once upon a time when we were kids, our grandparents got us a telescope. And same thing, we obviously wanted to go outside and like, you know, look through it and like see aliens and stuff.
It, naturally.
You know, see what the surface of the moon was doing. And it was freezing cold outside.
Yeah.
And like, so now every time I'm like, oh man, you know, it'd probably be cool to go check out the telescope. And I'm like, yeah, but I really don't want to stand out in the cold. But like, I'll feel that way even if it's like July.
There's no
situation where you're allowed to look through a telescope at night and
be warm.
And be warm and be comfortable with the temperature outside. And that has stuck with me.
Just another classic example of like, we just, for whatever reason, will not let ourselves enjoy ourselves.
I know, right? Yeah. So what's our problem, man?
I have no idea. Well, we'll unpack it eventually.
We'll unpack it eventually. So anyway, back to the stars.
Yes, back to the stars.
So you've got the wise men looking up at the stars, and they still had like the constellations and stuff.
Okay.
Like named back then. So they would have like, you know, Leo and Virgo and all those floating around up there. So part of the constellation Leo, which they would have still had as like the lion and like the, you know, the king or whatever.
Right.
Is the star Regulus, which I'm sure you're familiar with from Harry Potter.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and Regulus is the king star, as it were.
Oh, wow.
That's what Regulus means, is king. So, you got Regulus as part of Leo, and they're looking up and they're seeing Jupiter come across Leo, and they would have thought of Jupiter as well, like Jupiter, also known as like Zeus in Greek mythology and stuff.
Right.
And is the like king planet, as it were. So they're watching king planet come across king star, and it crosses at once, but then does something unusual where like, because, and I don't know like the physics or anything, but because of like the tilt of the Earth and Jupiter's own orbit or whatever, it appears to traverse backwards back over the king star again, Regulus.
Okay.
And then it does it again. So it goes 1, 2, 3 past the star.
Okay.
So if you're the wise men down, you're looking up and you're like, that is weird. That is different.
Right.
That is noteworthy. Something is happening here. And this would have been like their meanings, like king planet, king star, something happening. What's happening?
Like, I mean, to me, it almost must be the case that these wise men must be people who were doing some manner of night sky studying.
Yeah.
As part of like, because then that's when it would really, really stand out. Like something is amiss. Because otherwise, like how like aware are you of the current like planetary movements?
Oh no, there'd be people who'd be like paying attention to the sort of stuff.
Right.
So they notice that and they're like, that's pretty weird.
Right. Yeah.
Like something's happening. But then After that happens, Jupiter continues on its trajectory. It passes Leo and moves over to Virgo, which is like next in the, you know, the constellations or whatever.
Okay.
Virgo means virgin.
Okay.
So now Jupiter's over there. And whilst it is there, along comes Venus, and it intersects perfectly on top of Jupiter whilst it's in front of Virgo.
Okay.
If you got all that. So
yep, I'm following.
Right. And Venus would have been like the like it's like what you think of today, like maternity, like motherhood.
Okay.
You know, all that or whatever. So they see the three crossings of the king or whatever, and then Venus intersects Jupiter perfectly. Like they're directly on top of each other from Earth's point of view.
Okay.
Right. So what they've got is the mother and the king and the virgin, right?
Okay,
which yep. is all like exactly what you're expecting from Jesus. So you're going to have the virgin mother give birth to the king is
right.
what,
okay, yes.
is what they're like. And they're like, okay, not only that, but as we said, Jupiter and Venus are the two brightest things in the sky other than the moon. And now they're directly on top of each other. So if you're staring at it from Earth, it is exceptionally bright in the night sky, like in a true anomaly of brightness.
Right.
Coming okay. from one area. And that is their sign. They're like, welp, let's go.
Let's go. Let's yeah, yeah. That direction.
That direction. Something is happening, something religious or divine. And, you know, they follow it. And wouldn't you know, they follow it. And when they get to where they're going, Jesus is born.
Is
so it's okay. like, you know, it's like, oh, there was a sign and we decided to follow it. And boom, there it is. And, you know, so we're doing this at, you know, we're doing this like at church or whatever. And he's got the little software and he's showing you like what the night sky looks like. And you're like, that is kind. That's like, it's really crazy.
And that's pretty compelling stuff.
Yeah, it's like very compelling. Yeah. Like, wow, it's like, it's very, I don't know. That's cool.
So were any of the naming of these stars, because this would be like the question I'd be curious if like is in the minds of like listeners at home as well. Like, were the names of these stars assigned before this? Because like it seems to fit like so perfectly when you know the story.
Yeah.
And it's like, Were they assigned because like it's like that's a great way to sort of like join together those three?
I know.
Key
it's like
elements.
I think I don't know if they had like the exact names like Jupiter, Zeus, or whatever. They had the same meanings assigned to them.
Okay,
I suppose.
Okay,
but I mean, and to that end, you could easily say like, well, is it really that? You know, is it like that unusual that? You know, humans would call the two brightest stars like the mother star and the father star, you know.
Right.
Like okay, yeah, sure.
right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought it was just very interesting because a lot of times, you know, it was like, you know, when it, like I know we don't like to ever get like super religious here or anything, but it's like it's rare that there's like cool sciencey things you can look at that are like, boy, that lines up in a really unique way kind
right.
of thing. It's just like it's such a I always love watching whenever he does this one. I've seen it like twice now.
Okay.
Which is like I just thought it was very interesting. And then of course you're like, well, certainly we have all sorts of simulations. Can't you just look up when it's gonna happen again? Isn't that what we're all waiting for anyway? You know?
Right, right. Well, yeah, so that's the next question then. It's like that like unusual behavior of was it Jupiter?
Jupiter,
to
yeah.
sort of like swing back and forth. Like is there it, like is there an explanation for that? Like, was there something that was like happening in terms of like how various orbits were behaving where like what you were witnessing was like it traveling in a circle, but its version of a circle from this vantage point was appearing like.
Yeah. I don't know the physics behind it. I haven't like dived deep into it or anything.
Okay.
But
okay.
I did like I was, you know, curious. I was like, well, it seems like you could just look up like when are Venus and Jupiter just gonna intersect again? Like
right,
how uncommon is that? And it's like, turns out it happened. They come pretty close to each other, like fairly regularly.
Okay.
So like there's that's not a thing. Like I think it happened like last year that they actually intersected again. And I think it'll happen again in like 2032 or something.
Right.
So it's like it's not that uncommon for the two to like actually, you know, cross paths. I think. But then it's like you could say like, well, see, so that doesn't really matter or whatever. And I would say that's perfectly true. You could absolutely say that. But then you also just don't know what the next like what you don't know that it would happen the same way again if that's what you're waiting for.
Right. You know. Right. No, I know. Yeah. It's like the It's like the confirmation bias,
right? Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
because there is like a layer of
that's,
like for what it's worth, like I'm obviously not super well educated in this particular domain, like, but it's just for the devil's advocate purposes of the conversation and everything.
truly devil's advocate in this situation.
I know. Yeah. God darn it. That was an accident. No, it is very interesting. Like, because I do think so often when it comes to like the ways in which we don't understand certain aspects of like why, you know, like when it comes to like everything, you know, like it a lot of times it makes sense to me to where it's sort of like you start to try to figure out how to come up with an explanation. And it's remarkable to me how quickly maybe like your mind is like when you don't have an answer, it's amazing to me how quickly your mind is like able to come up with to have comfort in the unknown, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I guess is really the foundation for faith.
Yeah, a lot of times, yeah. And like for what it's worth, I'm not like sitting here trying to like convert anyone into Christianity or anything like that. I just found it to be like, because it's Christmas and that's like, you know, we're that time of year, and I was just hearing the story, and it's just like, it was just such a like a mind-blowing story. It felt very much like what we do at like Super Carlin Brothers. We'd be like, well, but look at this.
I know.
But like, is it any coincidence? You know, it's like, you're like, man, that's very cool. It was just very cool. And I thought it provided like some like real world context for like what is otherwise a fairly known, like common known story about Christmas anyway.
So, right. Yeah. No, take
it with a grain of salt, but you know,
yes, of course. No, it's remarkably, interesting though, like to imagine this unfolding, cause I think sometimes like I've even had that sensation before, like what would you do if like you witnessed something you couldn't explain and you did just like chase it,
right?
You know, like because that compulsion is so foreign. Like, like I remember, for example, there was one night where we were in Vermont, and we had set up this like inflatable hot tub out on the lawn, and you know, we're like just, you know, hanging out doing our thing. And the thing about being up there is that like there's very little light pollution, so you can see the stars really, really well.
Yeah.
And I do remember there was like this one night in particular where there was this like, you know, space dust, like a meteorite, like a some type of, I don't know, solar flare, something, you know, like I don't know what the term for it is, but it wasn't like a shooting star, you know, mm-hmm. which I think are usually meteorites, like yeah. That's just sort of like something kind of like burning up in the atmosphere. But this was it streaked across the sky, and it went like directly across like the lake from us, so it sort of like came right overhead, and like we just like watched it like slowly like travel its way across. And I say slowly, like I would say like we watched it for like 10 seconds, which felt like, you know, compared to like a meteorite where you could like blink and miss it.
Right.
You know, or compared to like a passing asteroid where it's like an occasion and people might go out there with their telescopes and watch it for like a period of time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like big comet situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's like it was moving slowly enough to be very unusual. It's the only time I've ever seen anything like it in my life. And it's like, the really fascinating thing to me would be like, you know, what would happen if you witnessed something like that and you were like, I need to know, like I need to chase it, I need to go that way.
Like if you saw that and were like, that was a sign from the divine,
right.
Like,
yeah because and I think like that's the thing about like life, is that like it's so rare to feel like you are witnessing something extraordinary truly happening. I think that's something like oftentimes it's always spinning in the back of my mind, like whenever I'm in, you know, like large crowds or something like that, I'm always sort of like, you know, what if something like unusual did happen, you know, like would you know it when you saw it? Would the skepticism be so great that you would just assume that it was like a parlor trick or like something else? Like, you know, what would permit you the willingness to believe that you were seeing something truly unusual?
Right. I don't know.
I know. I mean, and it's like, you know, because otherwise, you know, like unusual things do happen in life. all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you, so many of those stories are so terrific and so wonderful that they tend to like permeate because they're like these anecdotes without explanation.
Right.
And so like you end up hearing the anecdote, but like you're always kind of like, why, like, you know, why was nobody, you know, filming, or why was nobody there, or like how much has the story telephone gamed its way through time and space and everything? And like, you know, it's like, what would it have been like to have witnessed it? Would it have changed you? Like, would you be open to like that kind of like,
right,
mentality,
right,
if you'd been there? Or is it just like they're so rare, they're so few, they're so far between that like it's just hard to ever know, to like put yourself inside of one of those situations, as if you could be fortunate enough to like witness such a thing.
Oh, I know. I mean, I think we were talking about this, something like this earlier this year, where I was like, you know, like if you were getting, what would you need to see for you to believe that you were getting like a sign from God, you know? Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Right. Like I was thinking of that, like Bruce Almighty, like when he's just like, when he's driving around being like, just show me a sign. And like all these different stop signs keep popping up in front of him.
Yes. It's like a truck full of like,
like caution signs is happening. And you're like, how blind are you to things that like, maybe you're being told, or are you just sort of like, or is it just like a lot of confirmation bias kind of things?
I have no idea.
You know,
I have no idea. Yeah. Yeah. It is. That's the thing. Like, I think the skeptic in me would rise first. Like, I think, I would need to like barrel through several layers of like, something weird is happening. Like almost the point where like yesterday we were just talking about it, like with the Commanders football game, it's like, you know, I texted you, I was like, hey, they're looking really good. And I was like, I just lost in the game, you know? And then like, sure enough, like the game ended up like kind of going like very upside down from where it was. Like, you know, it was like 14-0 at the half, and then it ended up being 20-19 by the end of the game. And it was like, what happened? You know, what, like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
I know. Really.
And I, like, to me, like, and of course then the other thing as well is that like, there could have been plenty of occasions in our lives where like we have had that moment of like, oh my gosh, they're totally killing it right now. And then they just continue to kill it and they win. And you're just like, man, what a great game. Like they were just so strong the whole way through.
Right.
And you never remember.
Oh yeah.
You that feeling that. Of like the reversal of your sensation.
Yeah.
Where it goes from like feeling so confident to feeling so like on the edge of your couch, you know, like what happened?
Yeah.
And those are the ones that end up being like so much more like memorable.
Right.
Through, you know, throughout time. So it's almost like it would be fascinating to like almost like, you know, I mean, not that, I don't know, it's so hard to study, but it would be so interesting to just like take all your like favorite like athletes or whatever and just be like, can I jinx them?
Right. Yeah. Right.
like, cause I do have enough like superstition when it comes to sports in particular, where I'm like, I'm very cautious about like these kinds of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're almost, I don't know. Yeah. It's very interesting.
I know. It's like, there's like this weird question of like, do you have like the courage to believe that was a sign, or are you just like, or is it just like, or do you have the like the, or is it not courage, is it just like naivety, you know?
Yeah
exactly.
I know. It's, and I mean, it's difficult to say which direction that would go. You're sending me into a deep end of thoughts. I'm like, my brain's like spinning faster than I feel like I'm able to like coherently deliver what I'm trying to say. I'm like, what's racing through my mind right now?
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all, working with your older brother can come with challenges. For one, I constantly have all of these brand new ideas that could change the world, like a podcast called Uneven Diagrams, where we discuss unusual overlapping interests like competitive origami and blindfolded bowling. But oftentimes when you come up with these brilliant ideas, you're met with a kind of, sure, that's the best thing I've ever heard, but where to even start level retort. The nerve of some people. Am I right? The good news is I've learned the ultimate solution to getting your new business endeavor off the ground in no time flat, and that is Shopify. Shopify is seriously a secret weapon for launching a new business or taking your existing business to the next level by unlocking a whole world of potential customers. Shopify actually has this amazing heat map of the globe that shows you everywhere in the world that you currently have an active session. It's no secret. Businesses that want to grow, grow with Shopify. So upgrade your business to get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Again, go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Y'all, we look and look and look every year for the perfect gift for our loved ones. Like, what do they need? What do they actually use? What is the gift that will keep on giving? Well, look no further than Rosetta Stone. Not only do they provide a lifetime membership of language learning, but learning a new language unlocks entire new regions of the world for fresh exploration and ways to expand your mind, not just through learning, but also through new people and cultures. Rosetta Stone is designed for fast language acquisition. It uses intuitive processes meant to help you pick up language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. And before you know it, you'll be able to listen and think in a new language. Like, I can't even comprehend that. It's just that sounds awesome. But so if you need a gift idea or a last minute gift, give your family and friends the gift of language. You can get 50% off all 25 languages for a lifetime and no shipping fees. Give the gift that keeps on giving. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Today, Popcorn Culture listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Well, you know me, Ben. I like to bring the deep thoughts to this podcast. You know?
Okay. Here's a question for you. Have you ever thought you were the chosen one?
Have ever thought? I think everyone thinks that at some point.
Do they?
Yeah.
I think so. It'd be a deep curiosity.
I mean, I think you wonder. You're like, well, who knows? Maybe. You know, you see enough like stories and movies and stuff, and it's always just some random person.
Right. Right. Like,
you know?
I mean, so
the chosen one to do what though? You know.
Well, so I was Googling this morning because I think it could be an interesting way to explain it. Like, does everybody think that their child is perfect? And basically, like, you know, the general feedback that comes through is that like you as the parent of your child, you have like unconditional love. And
yeah.
So it's like because of that, it can be quite often that like you are going to favor all of their strengths. You're going to see all the good things in them. And you're probably going to like overplay their strengths and downplay their weaknesses because like that is your role in their life is sort of like structured such that that kind of is like what the end result is. And not everybody does think that their kids are perfect.
But, yeah.
You know, it's like, I know how much I like just, you know, like, when I look at Addy, I'm like, you are so great.
Right.
You know, like what a terrific human.
Yeah.
And she makes me so happy. But like when it comes to this idea of the chosen one, it's like when you live inside of your life, all of your motivations, all of your actions, thoughts and behaviors, all of your rationales, like, even, you know, like if you hear a friend complaining about something that happened at work one day, it's like you can probably totally understand their perspective. But if they were having a feud with another person, that person could be at a different Christmas party somewhere telling their friends about the same feud, and all of their friends would think they were in the right.
Right.
You know, like it's like, when was the last time your friend told you a story and you were like, I think you're wrong.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, everybody can always tell things through their perspective and it will always sound incredibly reasonable.
Yeah.
Because you're getting the full context of what they're saying. Like, they're going to deliver all the points that are in their favor and none of the ones that are not in their favor. So this idea of like being the chosen one, or like wondering if like you're different in some way from everyone else, like that, like it's actually like a topic that I think like I get like very cagey about a little bit. Like it's actually been something that like even like in therapy and stuff like that, like I've like brought up with my like counselors before, where it's sort of like I will be like, I think I'm different from other people and I don't know how to explain it.
Right.
Like, and it's like, I feel very vulnerable by saying that. Like it can make me like really nervous. It makes me really concerned that it's like narcissism or like incredibly vain to think those types of things. And it's like, I don't know whether or not that's like, I live inside of my own brain. So I know why I'm doing all the things that I'm doing. I know the ways in which like positivity is sent my way, or like small challenges that I feel like I recognize like I needed that challenge, because without that challenge, I wouldn't have grown into the person that I was. Like, you know, like I don't know. Like in my mind, a lot of times, like that's like, you're like, everything is like building me for a reason.
Right.
And so it's like, I'm not like a person, like I don't have like a religion, and I don't really have like specific faith towards one thing. But like, I think if you were to ask me deep down, sometimes I'm like, I feel like everything that happens to me, like it's all attempting to build a version of me that is meant to do something.
Right. Like it's happening for a reason.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But like, I don't even know if I like subscribe to the belief that everything happens for a reason, like on a broad spectrum type of thing. Like that's almost like maybe like where it funnels into this idea of like the singularity of being the chosen one, where it's like your tests, like my tests are happening to prepare me because I'm meant to do something, you know?
Right.
Do you have those feelings?
Yeah, sure. Sometimes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's good to know. Maybe I'm not like that.
Yeah. Like that far off base or like that.
Or maybe it's more common. Like it's nice to know, because there's a term, actually, I think Ethan, the editor, was telling me about it, and I think it's something, hold on, I'm going to see if I can find it really quick. Okay. So Ethan, the editor, was telling me about this particular term, and I know that it's like something that like I even remember like clicking into gear for me, you know, in like kindergarten or something like that, or maybe even like a little bit before that. But the term is called Sonder, which is S-O-N-D-E-R, and it describes the realization that everyone has a life as complex and vivid as your own. It can also be described as the feeling that you are the main character in your own life, while other people are supporting cast members or extras in overlapping stories. And it's like that can be one of those like mind-blowing situations to me, like when I'm in huge crowds of people,
right?
Like I think I become extremely aware of the fact that like if we go to like a Virginia Tech football game, there's 70,000 people there, it's like every single one of those people woke up that day all uniquely knowing that they were excited to go to this singular event,
right?
And so many of them came to this position from 70,000 different, literally 70,000 different reasons,
yep,
have brought them to this exact moment. And it's almost like remarkable to me that that is even possible at all.
Right.
Like,
it is like a weird thing. It's like every now and then, I'll just be like in traffic or something. You just see someone next to you and be like, I have no idea where they're going. Or like when a lot of times if I'm like driving around at an unusual time of day, or something, it'll be like I used to have to wake up really early to go do like early morning PR at the Civic Center.
Right.
And I'd be driving around at like 4 a.m. and you'll just see like a bunch of other people driving around. And it's like this weird thing. And it's like, it feels like at night everyone's asleep. And yet like suddenly, you know, like you, a lot of times at night like that, like all the stoplights would just be green. Cause it's just like, you know, the sensors will pick you up and they're like, there's no reason to turn them red you know.
Sure.
Like, and unless someone's coming from one of the side streets, we just keep it green. And you just be going, and suddenly one of them will turn red. And you're like, what are the odds?
Right.
Like, now I'm waiting at a stoplight at 4 a.m, and it's like, sure enough, there's someone else turning out. And you're like, what are the odds that someone else was at this exact intersection at this improbable time of night as me?
Right.
You know? And that, but there they are. And it's like, they had a complete whole reason to be up at 4 a.m. themselves.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, when I find myself in situations like that, it's like, to every other car on the road, they may just assume that I have a completely justifiable reason, and this is where I am every morning.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, this is the club of people who are on the road at 4 a.m, and
right.
This is what they all do. And then the other question in my mind is like, or do all of, or is, am I witnessing all of the other people who live in my area who happen to have a weird reason to uniquely be up
right
at this time of day?
Right.
Yeah. It's always very, very, very strange.
Yeah.
And then similarly, like thinking of being up early, like sometimes the reason why you are up early is to go on a flight. Because, like, you know, just early morning flight out, you got to get there two hours before or whatever. And I think airports are always, or public transportation in general, can always be really, really, really interesting to me, because, like, when I think about the places that I tend to frequent, like, you know, my favorite breweries in, you know, Roanoke, or the stores that I shop at, the restaurants that we go to, like, it isn't even that uncommon for me to encounter the same people
right
at those places, which is, like, kind of in and of itself like its own strange echo chamber, because then in my mind I'm like, this is what everybody in Roanoke loves to do, because, like, everywhere I go I keep seeing all the same people,
right?
And it's like that is true because you fall into a column of people who, like, are in this overlapping Venn diagram of ways of using their recreational time.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, if you're seeing the same people at breweries, it's like, it's probably because they got off work at roughly the same time as you, and they have a, you know, spouse or friends who like to go there, and that's, like, their same spot, the same way it's your same spot.
Exactly.
And, yeah, and but you're all there together.
Right, right. But then there are these gathering places like airports or public transportation in general, trains and stuff like that, where you end up seeing, like, so many different people. Like, I can't, it's like, while I go to, like, all my haunts, I feel like I see lots of the same people. When I go to the airport, I'm like, these are all strangers.
Right.
Everyone is. It's like, if I run into somebody I know at the airport, it feels remarkable.
It feels weird until you're coming back. Right.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Because
a lot
of times, like, on the return flight home, like, a lot of times we have to pass through Charlotte to fly back to Roanoke.
Yes.
And it's like, it doesn't seem that weird to run into somebody, you know, boarding from Charlotte to Roanoke.
That's a good point, because it's like, chances are, I mean, not chances are, for the exact reason that you're doing it.
Right.
Because it's like, you are now inside of what has felt like, over your travels, a sea of complete strangers, especially because you've been in, like, a unique place altogether. You have now consolidated down to approximately 100 people who live in your hometown.
Exactly, because, like, most people flying to Roanoke are returning to Roanoke.
Yes.
Not visiting Roanoke.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Too bad.
I know. Yeah.
I know. So that can be really odd as well. But that's like, it's like, then when you go, though, and you're like, holy crap, there are so many people. Where do you guys go?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes that's like I desperately almost, like, want to fly on the wall. Like, I want to exit my own, like, echo chambers, because it's like, I feel like everywhere I go, even if I'm on, like, subreddits or something like that, it's like, in my mind, it's like, even your subreddits are probably similar to the breweries, to the restaurants. Like, it's like, you are of a specific age. You are at a specific stage of life. You have a small child. Like, you are fitting into a kind of mold that is making it difficult to find completely fresh territory,
right,
even on the internet, where it's like, I need, it's like, how do you go and find domain that it's like, I'm not supposed to be here, and yet I found it.
And I found it.
And it's like, because it's like, it's just there. It's like, for some people, it's their everyday. It's
right.
It's their favorite subreddit. Maybe they're a moderator on it or something. It's
yeah.
like, it's like, and I don't even know it exists. I don't even know there's a culture around this thing.
Right. Exactly. Like, oh God, I feel like I had something like this last week. What on earth was it? Where it was like, there's like a whole
Beyblades.
Maybe it was the Beyblades. Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was just like, you know, like you're like, oh yeah, I remember seeing commercials for that when I was a kid, spinning top battlers, cool.
Right.
But then it's like, nope, there's just YouTube channels with like 900,000 subscribers and people who are putting together weird combinations and, you know, there's tournaments and stuff. And you're like, wow, didn't, that's cool. You
people
know?
Out there are doing this.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like, that's coming from someone who otherwise is like, into like competitive nerdy hobbies, you know?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like I go to Pokemon card tournament. I bet that's for some people. I bet that's like a wild thing too. That like, you know, like, oh yeah, Pokemon cards, people collect them and maybe there's like, you know, kids play it or something. Right.
Right.
But
right.
It's like, no, you don't even know.
Right.
You don't know the world of Pokemon cards.
It's got quite the depth. I know that that's, I think my across the street neighbor was telling me that like, I was telling her, you know, how we do like our Pokemon show or whatever. And she's like, oh my gosh, my son's obsessed with him. He's got like 12. And I was like,
12, like what, 1,000 or?
yeah. Like the amount of 12, I was like, she's like, he's so into it. He's got like 12. And I was like,
that sounds like you bought him one pack of cards.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But I even remember getting like our first ever cards and it was so thrilling.
It was
so exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was. Yes. I do remember that as well.
And so it was like, I mean, I think we even just bought like starter decks and it was like, you know, like I'll trade you my Squirtle. You know, these are just like common.
Right.
Like, you know, you could have hundreds of them like easily. Like right. They're worth a penny.
Right.
You know, and yeah, it was just like, you know, going back and forth and being like, oh, wow, you have a Kakana? Wow, that's all. I want that one. Mm-hmm. Like, you mm-hmm. know. So, I mean, it is very interesting. But the idea of, in her mind, thinking like, and it's not, I'm not trying to say that he's not into it for only having 12 cards. What I'm trying to say is I think it's interesting to me that we have, like, literally within my eye line right now, we probably have 2,000 Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Like, in the room with us.
In the room with us, yeah.
And so it's like, it just, I'm like, we're on completely different scales. We're
completely different levels. I know when we were at like Luke's birthday a couple weekends ago, a couple of the kids had gotten him like packs of Pokemon cards.
Yes.
And they were like, they would come up and they were telling him just like, you got to be really careful with those. And like, they would tell me.
Yeah.
They're telling me like, you just got to be really careful because some of them are just like really valuable. Like you should probably put them in like a case or something.
Right.
Or like a binder. And I was just like, I got it. I'm like, as much as you think you're into Pokemon cards, you do not know who you're talking to right now. Small 7-year-old.
Do you even know who you're talking to?
I know, like, okay, like I could really blow your mind. Okay. Like okay. You don't even want to see my binder, all right? It would, you know.
Binders.
Yeah, I said binder. I mean binders. I mean we are deep kids.
It would be hard to expect that, though.
It would. Yeah. It would. But it is exactly the point.
Yes. Yes. You know? No, it is. It is completely. Yeah. How do you know?
How do you know? Well, speaking of Pokemon cards, Ben, we talked about this in After the Final Pop last week.
Okay.
But I will just say that, you know, we've talked about Marvel Snap here on the pop a bunch.
Yeah.
But Marvel Snap has got competition.
In your life?
In my life. Ben,
oh,
because
oh.
I know, because the Pokemon Company produced a new Pokemon trading card app that is better than, it is more suited to mobile play. It is like, there's an app to play the actual game, but no one plays it on their phone because it like takes forever and it's uncomfortable. And
no, naturally.
Yeah, way too much. But this is like a slimmed down version of the game. It's 20 card decks. It's called Pokemon Pocket. And dude, it has been absolutely like commanding way more of my attention lately. Than Snap.
This is shocking.
It is. It's shocking to me.
I mean, you've always had like an app, I feel like.
Yeah.
I think.
I do. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know like if at any point in time you ever like grow bored with one of them, or maybe you don't even realize you've grown bored with one of them, because maybe that's what happened with Marvel Snap. And you were like waiting for something to like eclipse it.
It could be that way. I feel like, yeah, once upon a time I used to play the game Clash Royale.
Yes.
Which our younger brother introduced me to. And I remember like I played that like sort of on and off. And then I remember when Luke was being born, we were in the hospital for like 10 days ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then for like 17 days afterwards. And there was a lot of downtime in the hospital. And I was like, you know, I had to like fill the time doing something.
Right.
And I remember that was the first time I ever like invested like, you know, what I thought. I was like, I'm gonna spend like $20 on this mobile game right now. You know, right, I'm just gonna do it. And I remember like that was like, and then I was like, okay, I'm like kind of committed. And it was like, it was fun having currency in the game and stuff. And
absolutely.
And sure enough, I just shot up the rankings for like a little while until like it had leveled out to the next whatever.
Right. The next tier where more money needs to be spent.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. But now that was like for years. And I think after a while, I was just sort of like, I've just kind of been at the same place for a while. And I just like, I'm spending too much time on it. And I deleted it and I had nothing for a while. And then, I discovered like, and then we were doing the physical Pokemon game, trading card game.
Yeah.
And that was like really awesome. And then I think I went through that whole year of like going to like the regional tournaments and I played in a bunch of things. And like, I felt like I put in so much effort into becoming like truly competitive. And like it wasn't like yielding like any kinds of like not that I didn't get better. For sure I did.
Right.
But you know, like you would go to the regional tournaments and there's like day one and then there's day two. And it was like, okay, I went to the first one. I got some experience. Cool. Like next time my goal is to make it to day two or whatever.
Yeah.
And you would go there and I'm like, I did a little bit better, but I didn't make it. And then like, I got coaching. I've been playing the same deck for, you know, the last 60 days. I have been studying the meta and I went and it's like, and we didn't quite make it to day two or whatever.
Right.
It's just like, I'm putting so much time and effort and like resources into like doing this game, but it just doesn't really feel like I'm getting anywhere. And I think that just sort of was like a momentum killer. And in the meantime, I'd been playing Marvel Snap and it was just like, I took a break from one, this sort of like filled the gap. And then I had a lot of fun doing that. And then I've honestly thought like it has never left my life, you know?
No,
like,
I mean,
it'll go in ebbs and flows, but it always comes back and always in so many different ways.
Yeah. That's,
it is wild.
Right. Cause I was going to say the one thing I think you didn't include in this is like your entire experience with Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Which
yes.
I feel like was also like rather significant.
Oh
like,
yeah. I mean, it has found me in so many different ways throughout my life, whether it's like the actual main games, whether it's the card game, whether it's Pokemon Go, whether it's like trying to like complete the decks or just do like, you know, EV training or whatever it is, you know, it's just like it never, or the anime, even just watching the anime.
Sure.
You know, that it's like, it is, I've explored this fandom a bunch.
You have.
And there's
yes.
still so much I don't know. But anyway, but then so Pokemon Pocket came out and I was like determinedly not playing it. I was like, I don't want to be like splitting attention or whatever. And then my brother-in-law came into town like for Thanksgiving and he's like, have you downloaded Pokemon Pocket? And I was just like, well, I'm going to download it now with you because then we'll have something to talk about and you can just like show me what to do and stuff.
Right.
Ugh, that was it.
That was it.
The door was open. And then I was just like, I found myself just opening it more and more and more. And I had like a real victory last night.
You did.
They had like their, they had like one of their first events in the game where it was like, all you had to do was get 5 consecutive wins in a row in like their like battle mode or whatever. And that like got you like a special, you know, emblem that you could put on your profile. Like, ha, I got the trophy from this event.
Yes.
I did it. And I've been trying to do it. And I got into the fifth battle like 2 or 3 times. And like I had some where it was just like, well, I just dead drew and that was it. And then I had one where it was like, I just literally misclicked and didn't get it. And I was like fuming afterwards. I was like, I had it. I'm so mad right now. And then I knew that it was going to end on December 16th, which is the day that we're recording. So I was like, all right, tomorrow is the final day. But then I was looking at the app and it said ends December 16th, 1 a.m. And I'm like,
darn it.
Well, that's going to be like after midnight, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like laying in bed. It's like 10:45 and I'm like half asleep and I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, you know what? I never actually play a game. Like I'll often watch stuff on my phone like as I fall asleep.
Yeah.
I never actually play a game. It's like too much, you know, brain work or whatever. I was like, you know what? I'll just play until I lose. Like there's no way I'm going to do it while I'm sleeping here. I'm like almost falling asleep when it's not my turn or whatever. And I get through the first 2 matches and I'm like, well, I'm 2-0 right now. And then I get to the third match and that person just concedes like right out of the gate. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I'm into the fourth match and I win that one. And all of a sudden now I'm like awake. I'm like,
I know. Whoa. Yeah.
I'm like, what's happening?
At what point are you out of bed and pacing?
I know. Now I'm like sitting up in bed. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like in the final match. And this guy, like from my point of view, I was like, I don't know. It's going to come down to a coin flip on whether he gets me to fall asleep or not. But from his point of view, he must've been cooked. Cause he was like, I'm out. And I was like, oh, no way. like, so like with like an hour to spare, I got the 5 wins and I was like, that was so fun.
That's amazing.
I know, I got it. So that was a good feeling.
So now you have an emblem.
So now I have a little emblem that says, yay, champion. Yay,
champion. Cool. Not to brag or anything.
But I've also been specifically like trying not to consume any like influencer information on this game.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because like for Snap, that was like, you know, I was also on like podcasts and watching YouTubers, and it's like fun to see the decks I come up with. But it's like the game is, I was like, so this deck, this is everything is just me, which feels very good then
that
as
is,
well.
That is a really good feeling. Yeah. Because I know that like, well, I mean, it's sort of a it could maybe be like an interesting segue into a quick discussion that I'd be very curious to have with you as well. Because I do think that's like, There's the like heavily optimized version of everything, which is like taking people and all of their experiences and like distilling it into like one answer.
Yeah.
You know, as to like this is the best way to do it, which is sometimes it's very useful to have that information. But yeah. Like some, you know, it's like it's obviously cliche to say it, but it's also true. It's like, you know, the journey is the destination. It's like learning those things can also be extremely fun.
I know. It's like they're, especially now, it's like there's like a website that I use called like untap.gg, and like anyone who has an account, like you can like put like a little tracker, so like it'll track you while you're playing your games, and it'll like, you know, you can go on there and see like, this is the deck that is currently winning with the highest win percentage in the entire game, and you just be like, boom, copy, done.
Okay,
like there it is. So it's like it is just using giant numbers of giant data to be like, here, like we've determined, you know,
yeah, we have the
like
answer.
We have tons of playtesting data, and like this says this is the best one, and like it can become really disheartening when you like it rips a lot of creativity out of the game.
Sure.
I think when you start doing stuff like that, because you can feel like you'll be playing, you'll be like, well, why am I not winning? And then you'll go look at the deck and you'll be like, oh, that's cool, I'll just do this one.
Right.
And then you go on and you'll start winning and that'll be great. But then like eventually you'll start to like fade off and be like, you know, oh, I want to try my own things. But then you start losing and you're like, wait, what's the best deck? And you'll go get it. And it's just sort of this like terrible cycle. And eventually you get to the point where it's just like, well, what's the point in ever being creative when I can just go find the best deck?
Sure.
Like, what's the point? Like, there's no point, because like I'm not advancing when I'm not doing this or whatever. But then it's like you've lost the ability to like be creative because you've just done it for so long.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so that's a perfect tee up then for me, because I've had this sort of like, I don't know if it's a realization or just sort of like maybe like understanding more about like what is going on. But I've been having this thought about art lately. You may remember like sometime and months ago, I think at this point in time, I think the New York Times sent out this thing and it was like, talking about how this like professor at like an art school has this like one assignment, which is like, you need to go uninterrupted and spend like 3 hours looking at a painting.
Right.
And it's sort of like, you, like the objective is to just like take it in fully. And so the very minified version of this was, they basically like, they selected a painting and, you know, you made it like full screen on your computer or whatever, and you spent 10 minutes with the painting, and,
right.
and it's just like, turn your phone off, don't look away, put headphones on, you know, like just, you know, fully focus on nothing but the painting. And so I did it, and I just found it to be an incredibly interesting experience, because I was like spotting things like as time went on, I was like, wow, I can't believe I've been looking at this thing for 6 minutes so far and didn't notice the, you know, the smokestacks over in the corner or whatever. And it's like, they're prominently featured in the painting. I don't know why I didn't see them sooner, but I didn't. So it was fascinating to me, because I think like that gave me something about art that like maybe hadn't occurred to me before. Like, that's not, I mean, I'm not trying to distill art down into like, they're pretty pictures, you know, because like I understand that's, I know more than that. But like the thought that occurred to me the other day was like, what if I were to sit down with like a canvas and spend and like tell myself like, you were going to spend like, you know, 10, 20 hours drawing a picture or painting a picture of like my dog Indy.
Right.
You know, it's like I can't sit down and draw a picture of a dog.
Right.
Like, not a good one, at least, you know, I mean, it probably is going to have like, it's going to be like a rectangle with 4 stick legs coming out of it and like a, you know, kind of potato shaped head.
Yeah.
With ears, and eyes. And it was kind of like, I was like, it's kind of fascinating to me, because if I did that and I just went really slowly or methodically, or like even if I didn't go slowly and methodically, but just kept adding like more and more and more and more details as time went on, like eventually you would have something that took me 20 hours to complete that would be like the most intentional drawing I've ever made in my life by like a metric landslide.
Right.
And it's like, what occurred to me was it might not look like indie.
Right.
But like on some level, it would be like a projection of something in me onto a canvas.
Right. That represented your dog.
That represented my dog.
Right.
And it may or may not look like the dog, but no matter what, it came from me and was meant to be my dog.
Right.
And I'm like, what? Like, but then you have to like wonder to yourself, it's like, well, what if it was like, you know, like distorted or highly disproportional or whatever. It's like, then I was like, is that like, is there a world where you could then like wrap your head around that? It's like that, like if you wanted a perfect representation of your dog, you could take a picture of the dog.
Right.
And that would be as close as we can get to a perfect representation because it's a very clear, high resolution image of the dog.
Of the dog. Yeah.
You know? So it's like, So to compare it to what your example was, like the picture to me, the other thing I want to be cautious of is not trying to take away from photography as an art form itself as well, because that's not the point of the discussion. But like that would, if I wanted a picture for my own wall, you know, and it was like I took 20 hours to paint this painting, or I could take a picture. It's like one of them is going to obviously look like indie, and one of them is going to look like whatever the heck comes out of my brain. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, do you like, is one of those the optimized version of like the play deck versus like one of them is like the like more creative, fun expression version of like yourself folded into the.
No, I think I know what you mean. Like one of them is just a picture and that's like the optimized one. And one of them's like this, like more creative. And it's like, which one is actually like more fun, or which one's actually like, you know, better. And that's like, it can be very subjective and stuff like that. And actually what you're describing, if you want to bring it back to card games, it reminds me more of like the times when I've really tried to like when I've dove in to try and find like specific answers to strategies I have.
Yeah.
Like where I'll be like, okay, this is a problem. How do I get over this problem right now? Or I want to account for this in the deck. And I'd be like, I remember one time I was looking for a way to get over a card called Ice Rider Calyrex VMAX or whatever.
Okay.
And that's not important. But I needed a metal card that was a basic card, and it needed like very low energy attachment. And I was like, does that exist? Does it exist? Can I find the hunt for it? And I'm like going through, and like as you are looking at all the different like basic cards, you like start to see like, you can almost like start to see like the code of the Matrix on like the game design itself.
Oh yeah.
Where
yeah,
you're
yeah.
just sort of like, I see. Okay. So what I'm looking for, like, of course I'm looking for it because they know it is going to be hard to find. Like I've like stumbled into like a specific part of the game design where it's like, yeah. We haven't quite made this because we know that it would be a problem here.
Right.
You know, and it's like that, like, oh, okay. Nothing is this cost, because everything at this cost is either like, you're looking for 40 damage for one energy, but that doesn't exist. Everything's 30 damage for one energy or whatever.
Yes.
You know, it's like, but sometimes it will jump up, but that comes at a cost somewhere else. Now you have really low HP. Now you have a really big retreat cost. Now something.
Right.
And it's just like, you kind of like to start to, like, I don't know. It is weird how like you'll get really deep in a hole and it's sort of like, I understand exactly how the game is being designed all of a sudden. You can like start to like appreciate the value of certain different things.
Yes. Yeah. It's like this card is not extraordinary on its own, but I have discovered the function.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that has happened times before. Like we've opened, you know, again, like we said, tens of thousands of Pokemon cards at this point, but like sometimes like we'll open one up and you'll like read the effect or whatever. And I'm like, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, it's like maybe there's not like an obvious, and I mean, I wouldn't doubt your judgment ever, but like maybe there's not like an obvious application for that card, but like, yeah. Wouldn't it be fascinating if you found it?
Well, so to go back to this example, there was every now and then a Pokemon, they'll have these like one-off like collector sets.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, like we've opened some of those, would do like single seasons on box breakers or whatever. And one such set had like the highlight Pokemon or the cool thing to collect were like the shiny Pokemon.
Right.
Which are just reprints of cards that existed with new art that showed them shiny. Which if you don't know, in Pokemon, every time you run into anything, there's like a 1 in 2,056 chance it'll be shiny and have a different color palette to it.
Okay.
It's very low. Maybe it's way worse than that. It's like 1 in 16,000. It's terrible. But every now and then it happens and you're like, oh my God, shiny, so cool.
Yes.
So that was the gimmick of this set. And it was like, as you're kind of like opening it, it's like fun to pull one, but it's like, why did they choose this one to be the shiny one?
Sure.
Like the cards already exist, but it's like, they decided this card was good at being shiny. And it would be like, I don't get, like, why would you make this one more valuable? Like if it's Pikachu, you're like, okay, it's because it's Pikachu or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But it's like, this thing, why did this thing get the special treatment? Like what is good about it? And it was like, that's what I ultimately discovered. It's like, why is this card good? Why did this one get the treatment? And it's like, I discovered it.
Oh, you know, it's almost like they're signaling
this one, look at this one for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, I found the reason. And it felt like, oh my God. Like I found like a secret, you know?
Yes, 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 yes. And, yeah. I do think that is like when you've taken your enjoyment of something to the next level. Like, I think to me, like, and I'm always so curious about this, like when it comes to people who like review films and like they find something that is like truly spectacular to them.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what I have to imagine is like, we've talked about it before, but there's like the Hero of a Thousand Faces, which is basically like the story of like Harry Potter or like Luke Skywalker or, you know, like whatever. It's like there is a chosen one character who sets out on a quest to overcome some kind of like massive evil, and we'll meet friends along the way and blah, blah, blah. And it's like so many stories are, you know, put into different packaging, but they're effectively the same story. And so it's like, when I think about like film reviewers, I'm like, these are people who consume so much cinema that they have now been exposed to so many of the tropes that like over time, it's sort of like, versus somebody who's just sort of like going and being like, oh, like we'll watch this one tonight. We'll watch this one tonight. Like you can be pleasantly surprised by all of them. But the person who's watched everything like starts to know, it's like, okay, they did the lazy way out, or like, okay, yeah, like, you know, it's like,
seen that before.
It's hard to make something like look huge on camera, but of course did the classic tungsten technique or whatever. And it's like, you know, like there's a name for the thing, and because they know the name for the thing and they know how the sausage is made, it's sort of like, okay, like you haven't pulled the wool over my eyes. You haven't accomplished something that like hasn't been done a million times before. You're just doing it with a Godzilla creature or whatever.
Right.
Like, you know? And so like, I'm so curious for those people when they witness something truly spectacular. It's like I so desperately want to be able to get into the mind of that person,
yeah,
to be able to experience what they are experiencing, which is something that's like truly unusual.
Yeah, the prestige.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Because I mean, like, I would say probably the main arena where I would have experienced this would be like with like coral, you know, for saltwater,
yeah,
aquariums and stuff. It's like, you know, you could go up to any saltwater aquarium display, and chances are the corals that are going to be like the most eye-catching to you, you know, to aquarists who are like deeper into the hobby, are going to be the ones that are sort of like the basic tenements of the industry. You know, like these are corals that are in every single aquarium everywhere, and while they do look very big and they're flowy and they give the absolute essence of like, you know, being in the reef from Finding Nemo or whatever,
yeah.
it's like yeah, but like, you know, those are commonplace, or like they're readily available, or they're not very expensive, or they're easy to find, you know, like there's like all those like whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go to like a trade show or a convention or something like that, and like somebody's got like a tank with one tiny little piece right in the center of it because it like happens to feature like more than four unique colors in a way that's like nobody's ever seen it before. And you're just like, what am I looking at? Like,
yeah,
this defies all possibility.
Right.
Like this doesn't exist. But like to anybody else, they might look at it and be like, okay, like, I mean, that tank is full of colorful, bright,
yeah,
flowing you know,
yeah, things too.
Yeah, it's like, why is this one so special to you? And it's like, because it's blue and yellow and green and orange.
Because it shouldn't exist.
It shouldn't exist. It's like, that's an anomaly, you right. know, like, and to be able to appreciate it on that level is something that I just love. You know, it's like that is something that like I want, like when I see important things, like,
yeah.
it's like, I want to be able to appreciate it. And at times I know that I'm supposed to, but I just like, I don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
You know, or sometimes it can happen with, you know, food or art or movies or, you know, one-off shiny Pokemon cards.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you going
to
get there?
How are you going to get there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, things to explore. I feel like we talked a lot about like, unusual circumstances in today's episode.
I think maybe we did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost as if we were like hovering around like a specific, like,
yeah,
like zip code of topic.
Right. Yeah. A certain intangibleness. Je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. Man, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
So the Pop has now made it 5 years.
Wow. That's wild.
It is wild. Cause I think our first few episodes went live on Christmas Day in 2019.
Yeah.
I was gearing up to get married.
Oh my gosh. You're right.
It's
you're
wild.
Right.
To think we're on that side of the pandemic.
I was gearing up to have twins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
I know that's always like, it's such a weird thing. It's like whenever we look at wedding photos, like I always forget that like Beth was pregnant with the twins at your wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Yep. It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Actually, whenever I think about that and I'm like, wow, she did Disney while being pregnant with twins. Yep. I'm like, I mean, Beth is really like a hero.
Oh, for sure. I mean, she is.
She's done some extraordinary things.
Yeah.
So,
she's quite amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, guys, thank you so much. Hopefully some of you, I mean, it'd be cool. Like, yeah, let us know. Have you stuck with us the whole time? Were you there from the beginning?
Were you there 5 years ago?
Be sure to let us know. Let us know if there's like a particular episode or moment or like era of popcorn culture history that stands out to you.
Yeah.
Send us all your thoughts to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. You know, the one that for me that always seems to stand out, and I have no idea why, is I feel like we went through like an era, I want to say it was like in the 160s episode wise of like forgiveness.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I feel like we had like a big era where we like, we talked about that like on like a big steady level.
Yeah.
And I was like, to me, like when I think about like the best of the Pop, like that's like where my mind goes.
That's it.
Yeah. Like yeah. I was like, I feel like it was like, we had like found the resonant frequency of like what this show is supposed to do.
It's supposed to be, yeah. It's about, yeah. Well, I mean, that's good Christmas messaging as well. Jesus, big on the old forgiveness.
The old forgiveness.
Know?
That's a cornerstone.
You might say.
There you go, guys. Well, hope that you have had a fantastic year. It has been so much fun to, you know, hopefully be in your ears along the way. And thank you for being such a tremendous and wonderful community. But until next time. Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishawn Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager. And the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Super Carlin Brothers is sponsored by Nude. Y'all, of course, know about my podcasting and YouTube endeavors, and you may even know that I do some aquarium maintenance at times, but you may not be aware that my wife, Alice, and I also own a business together called Nude. I know it's a funny name, but there's actually a fun story behind it. See, Alice has always had a deep love for clothing and fashion, but even more so for thrifting. It was her way to sustainably and economically expand her wardrobe while still aiming for quality brands that would last. And she is really good at it. Like, I can't tell you the number of times over the years that she has been stopped by people admiring her finds. So much so that she coined a phrase for her response. Thanks, it's nude. As in new, but in the past tense, because it's not exactly new, it's nude. So, we took this concept and created a storefront not 100 yards from where Super Carlin Brothers was created and have an online shop featuring pre-loved clothing from brands like Lululemon, Free People, Anthropologie, Madewell, and so many more. If you
you'd like to check it out for yourself to ring in the nude year, if you will, you can do so at NudeSalem.com and use promo code SUPER to get 20% off your entire order. That's NEWDSalem.com, promo code SUPER for 20% off.